Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Jane, it's your last episode as an official Runner's World team member. But that doesn't mean you won't be back because, to be honest, we reckon you should just keep doing it.
We need you, Jane. We need you.
As someone once described in an email to us, it's Jane and the two fellas. So we need...
For all my fans, don't worry. I'm going to try and sneak back into these episodes.
But you might have to just be a guest host for the future. And we'll just hope that your future employer doesn't listen. And that's
Pop up for special occasions like Christmas and Easter and, you know, all the other holidays.
Well, you're very welcome anytime, Jane, and you have vastly improved the podcast, as lots of our readers have said.
Yeah, so at least by a third. So I think pretty much everyone will just unsubscribe now, which is a bit of a shame for me and Rick, but we'll try and keep it going, won't we, mate?
Well, I think so. And I think, you know, while we've still got some listeners, let's look at the biggest show on the planet, the Olympics, Ben.
Oh,
the Olympics.
Yes. It was on.
It happened. It's over. But it was extraordinary as ever. And I reckon, you know, we've got a few highlights and lowlights that we wanted to kind of discuss over the next half an hour. Do you want to kick us off?
Let's not get this confused, Rick. These are the hottest takes from the Olympics.
The expert opinions.
And I would say probably like a semi-informed way. Not like top-end journalistic opinions. This is just wild speculation and or comment. I think that's an important...
We couldn't get Michael Johnson in, could we? We tried to get Michael Johnson in.
Sadly, no, we couldn't.
Tried to get Paula and we couldn't get her either.
None of the main top-tier commentators were in slightest bit interested. I'm going to start with the most... I mean, it's been divisive on the internet, and social media has really gone to town on it, which is kind of interesting because it also highlights a lot of anyone who's done a marathon seems to now quantify, like, being qualified to just comment on it, which is my favorite thing about comments on the internet. It's just like, I've done 10 of these marathons and I've never dropped a water bottle. But so French runner Morhad Amdouni sparked a debate on social media. Debate's generous. After a video appears showing him knocking over an entire water table station during the men's Olympic marathon. Like two runners in front of him managed to grab a bottle and then he just dominoed the whole lot off the table and then picked up the last one for himself. Now, the video, again, it's like a clip on Twitter and there's been loads of comments because immediately, like, everyone's just like, whoa, that looks crazy bad. Like, that's the worst thing you can do. It's like 35 degrees or something. Everyone's running a marathon at, like, you know, stupid marathon Olympic pace. And everyone's gone, wow, he looks like the worst person ever. And then loads of other people have been like, oh no, I've run a marathon in the heat before. And sometimes you're disillusioned and you don't know what you're doing. I am not in that camp. I am very much on the opinion that it looks like the man has just knocked over all the other waters so that no one can have any. And I know there's like, everyone's, oh, it's an edited clip and there's more tables coming up and all that sort of stuff. But it's, I don't think, like, no one else has done that ever. I don't think so. I'm going to say that it was a definitely intentional move to just dehydrate the competition.
You're making the case against
Yeah, all right, Piers Morgan. Who invited Piers to the podcast?
I'm just saying it was incredibly unsportsmanlike.
It doesn't look good. I would say case for the defence that there are sometimes slow-mo stuff. I mean, I'm thinking about other sports here, but say often like tackles in rugby and football look terrible in slow motion because actually the whole thing looks more deliberate and more calculated
right,
than it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I wonder,
possibly there's... Because everything's slowed down, it looks like he's sort of just, you know, rattling his way through water bottles. I think it's one of those areas, mate, where it's. I think it does look bad. I think if you said like, right, is this deliberate or not? And I'd say I think it looks a little bit deliberate. But it's almost like we are almost in benefit of the doubt territory as well. With like, what if he was actually just, you know, very dehydrated and didn't know and kind of not very coordinated at that point in the race.
I just think,
and then he's getting ripped about it for, you know.
Yeah, true. Oh no, I mean the internet's the worst place in the world. But I would also say that like if he's that out of control of his body that he can't pick up water, he shouldn't be doing it. Like he shouldn't be. Medical teams need to step in and be like, right, we just witnessed that you're unable to pick up a bottle, so you should probably sit this one out.
Well, I don't know. I think when you go into the Twitter, Reddit holes about this issue, people are then saying, well, you know, if you're gonna nitpick at water stations, people shouldn't drop their bottles on the floor, they should throw them to the side because they're moving so quickly at that pace.
Wow.
That they could easily twist an ankle. And it's kind of like,
it's just contentious.
I feel like water stations at a 9-minute mile are chaotic. I can't imagine water stations at like a 4-minute or whatever they're doing. And you like in the video, they're still very much running. There's no like, so he didn't stop, throw himself on the table, roll around and then carry on. I don't know. I feel like maybe it was an accident, but I also agree that it did look a bit strange.
I think it looked like he
just ran into the water station with his arm out and just couldn't grab. It was like a, you know, like those games with the claw.
Sort of end of the pier arcade game.
Yeah, just sure. grabbing for some water and couldn't find any.
I think you're both just being way too kind.
He finished in 17th place. So imagine how controversial it would have been if he'd medalled.
Probably a bit like dehydrated. Right, I'm watching it again because I want to watch it in real time.
Okay.
Oh no, that's just insane. That is.
Let's move on then to more positive.
Oh, he's just knocking him over. That's insane. He's just knocking him over.
I'm gonna say outstanding running performance. Quite a hard one actually, because there are loads.
Oh,
but
yeah, there were loads.
I think that possibly the one that will live on longest would be the men's 400-meter hurdles. Carsten Voorholm's smashed the world record by almost a second. And what was amazing about that was it was a brilliant race. Well, it wasn't like a kind of just one man, you know, kind of like David Rudisha when he did it in the 800 meters, and it was like,
of course,
one was anywhere near him. Actually, it was a fantastic race as well, and similar to the 400 meter hurdles, you know, two people went inside the previous world record.
Mm.
And I didn't realize this, Ben, but you've done some digging, and Voorholm he's got a bit of beef with Nike, isn't he, about the shoes?
So he commented afterwards that he believes that the AirPods underneath the shoes, he thinks it's bullshit, Rick. The man does not mince his word. He basically says, I don't see why you should put anything beneath a sprinting shoe. In middle distance, I can understand it because of the cushioning. If you want cushioning, you put a mattress there. But if you put a trampoline, then I think it's bullshit and I think it takes credibility away from our sport. So, and there was a bit, there's a sort of like looking into this further, and it was reported at the time. He's sponsored by Puma, and Puma had worked with Mercedes, I think, to make his shoe. And he's got just like it's a carbon shoe, I think, but it looks like a track spike.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I think his bone of contention is with the foam, and then that sort of, the extra rebound, whatever that all gives. Mm. So it was quite... I mean, when, you know, I think the power of ruining gold gives you that platform to suddenly say what you want. So I think it's kind of, he was straight away pretty vocal about what he thinks about, you know, the ongoing shoe wars.
I think my non-running moment would have to be Tom Daley. He just broke my heart.
Oh, yeah, yes. Which bit? Knitting. The diving or the knitting?
Oh,
yeah.
All of it. He was knitting a jumper for a dog. I was like, just when you think you couldn't love him more. And then he made a cardigan. Like, what the hell, Tom?
he's now auctioning said cardigan for charity. So, you know.
Oh, he just gets better. What's he going to do next?
Wherever he wants.
There's going to be a film, isn't there? There's going to be a Hollywood film about Tom Daly.
Oh,
it's got all, it's got all the ingredients.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Leap of Faith?
Title. There's a title. Leap of Faith.
Great. Thanks, mate.
If either of you get invited to that premiere, I've got to come to the plus one. You've got to get me in. I just love him so much. And running wise, it's got to be Laura Muir. Like I found her race so emotional. And I think Laura's she's so lovely, but she's one of those runners that you can see everything on her face. It's not like Kipchoge where he's just like smiling and there's no, you see the pain, and then you saw her like elation that she's like finally kind of got that medal that she deserves. And I thought it was amazing. I thought that was like that was my moment, I think, where I was like, oh God, I'm really like, everyone felt really happy for her, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I missed it live, but I watched the BBC highlights, and even though I knew that she'd won a silver, I was like just like cheering her on for the final 200 meters. Like, come on, Laura, you could do it. It's like, oh, you know she does it.
I know, but I did a load of that retrospective cheering when I knew the result. Yeah, but I still wanted to hunt out the race and just watch to see how it like panned out, because you're just suddenly like, oh, I've seen that, you know, Kerr won bronze or whatever, and you just be like, but I want to watch him do it. It's funny how 1500 meters is such an odd. Like it's such an awful distance. Like if you've ever run a 1500 meters, it's horrible. Mm. And I like the fact that that seems to be like an event that the British do well in. Like,
definitely. I think our middle distance people largely delivered. There was Keely Hodgkinson getting a silver as well on the 800. She's 19. She beat Kelly Holmes's record en route to doing that. And I mean that's just magnificent, isn't it? Maybe that's one of those examples of like the kind of confidence of youth where you go in and you don't actually feel the pressure that someone like Laura Muir, who's had a few bites at it, you know, is feeling. Actually, she's like, well, I've got nothing to lose. And she's massively exciting. I mean, imagine how quick she might run in, you know, the next 5 or 6 years. So there's lots to look forward to. Obviously, there's a few disappointments as well, like Elliot Giles, who we've had, who was on the front cover of Runner's World last month. He didn't make it through to the final. So it's like all things in the Olympics, isn't it? They're kind of winners and loses, and it's brutal because you really only get like that little chance at it, and if it doesn't happen, then you don't get anywhere.
Well, that kind of also brings us on to the track, which was another sort of technological advance that was seen to give advantage. There's the designer behind the lightning fast Olympic Stadium track in Tokyo, Andrea Valuri, I'm going to probably say that wrong, apologies, has said it gives a 1-2% performance advantage to athletes, making it the quickest in history, which we've seen with these times. The track is very thin at 14 mil, but they've added a new element, and they're these rubber granules. In the lower layer of the track is this hexagonal design, which creates small pockets of air. And they not only provide shock absorption, but give some energy return. And that's the key. And at the same time as a sort of trampoline effect, we've improved this combination. And this is why we are seeing the track has improved performance. So 1-2% at that level is insane. Like I mean, it's hard to sort of, chip away at athletic performance with technological advances and sort of compare the two, but it definitely makes a big difference.
I'm just working out percentages here, because it's like, imagine you've got the Alpha Flyers on, right? That's your 4%.
Oh my God, we're going
to run. Then you've got a track. So you're 6% quicker on this track if you're running in these super shoes.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder the records. I look into how many records were broken, and it's interesting because it's not as if, I mean, a lot of records did go, but as far as world records on that track, there's only two. So that, and they're both in the 400 meter hurdles.
Right.
There are lots of Olympic records. There's 7 Olympic records, which is higher than you would normally expect. But I think it's possibly not completely accurate to suggest, as some sort of people are, that like records have just tumbled at this Olympics on the track. Like they haven't really. And that's possibly because some of these very long standing records in athletics are perhaps slightly dubious anyway, so they're very hard to get near, regardless of the track and the shoes you're running in. But yeah, it hasn't. I don't think it's been quite as you know. You remember when the swimsuit came in and all the records basically went when people wearing the suits in that one Olympics? It's not quite been as big as that. Although obviously we have seen some very quick times as well.
Yeah, I wonder if the injury. Whether you could blame it, not that we are, but whether the injury is also a factor that these athletes live in 4-year cycles, don't they? And this is, do you mean that extra year, even though they probably wouldn't be training as hard, whether that extra year kind of put more pressure on their bodies than normal, and they kind of picked up these niggles and stuff, and we had all these lockdowns and they couldn't train maybe in the same places that they could normally, and whether that's taken a toll, and we're kind of seeing it as a 5-year cycle, not a 4-year cycle, equals more injuries, and what will happen if they're now on a 3-year cycle, aren't they? So yeah, I wonder how they'll prepare, because I imagine they have time, a big chunk off after an Olympic Games, but wonder if they
will. I hope so.
Again, yeah, I hope Tom Daley's having a little nap. But like, I don't know. I wonder if we'll see it affects again. Because like, oh, it's gutting, isn't it? And the interview Dina did where she cried, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
It's so hard that they've, 5 years is a long time, isn't it, to wait for that race.
Totally, totally, you know, yeah.
Oh, all of that, all that pressure. Like, that's got to be so much. You've got to overthink that situation so much. Like, think how much, think how you feel building up to just, not even a race, like for, like when you've got to do a long run or something like that, and you sort of like start getting a bit nervous about it on Saturday because you'll do it, you know, the day before, and you'll be like, oh, I've got to do that run. That's going to be, oh, I've got to do the first half easy, but the second half at marathon pace, that's going to be really quite hard. And that's like a week. And everyone, these guys, I mean, I know it's like that's their job, but they're building up to these things for so long, and there's so much pressure, and it's heightened and heightened and heightened. And
well, I always say to, whenever I were lucky enough in this job to talk to athletes, I'm always like, how do you sleep? Because before like any race, I don't sleep for about a week, and I'm just permanently dreaming that I've missed the start line, and I'm constantly like waking up in like anxiety attacks in the middle of the night, and they're just like, oh yeah, you know, you just get in the right headspace and sleep. So I do think they're different people, and they're different kind of humans, because how do they get too nervous? Like, how can they sleep?
You say that, but I read on The Guardian that Sifan Hassan was for the last 2 weeks she's been having nightmares. So okay. There you go. She was, you know, she but then she won 3 medals. So, yeah. You know, I mean, and I think that performance is in itself is probably worth having a, you know, like,
oh, 100%.
5,000 meter gold, 1,500 meter bronze, and then a 10,000 meter gold. Like, that's incredible.
She would have finished 11th if she was a country in the medal table.
That's, wow. I mean, yeah.
The nation of Savannah Sand would have finished 11th. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, what an audacious thing to attempt. And yeah, ultimately, it was just a little beyond her, maybe, because you'd just be absolutely knackered, wouldn't you, at that point. But yeah, it's up there with, I mean, you know, like, we kind of celebrate Emil Zátopek, you know, his 5,000 metres, 10,000 metres and marathon gold in Helsinki, and it's sort of looked at as this untouchable thing, and I think it is unlikely that someone would do that combination, but she's proved that the right athlete can get really, really close to winning three goals at different distances, which is I mean, could you try it in the 100, 200
and 400? No, 100, 200, obviously that's done all the time.
Okay, I think the 4 and the 8 has been done, I believe that might be more
8 and 1500, but yeah, that, I don't know, it's you don't see that sort of, like, maybe people it seems the pattern is that they tend to appear in the blocks. It's that 1500 to 10. Like, the 5:10 is kind of normalish.
Yeah.
But that 15, that's too, I mean, they're so.
Because it's round, because it's also rounds of qualifying, is it? It's not like you don't get a bye get kind of, you know, like the FA Cup or something where you get, you're in at the third round. You have to, you know, get your way to the finals. There's loads and loads of heats. It's like,
I mean, yeah, she's such a character. Like, when she came out, you know, when they were coming out at the start of each race and stood in front of the screen with the flag and they were doing the wave and stuff. I mean, when she came out for the 1500, I mean, no one could have looked more annoyed about having to do something than she did. It was it was ridiculous. All the other athletes were coming out and like smiling and waving and like, oh, and she was kind of furious about having to be there. Like, it looked hilarious in that way. But it doesn't come without controversy, though. She was, you know, it's been reported. We're not going to get into it massively, but obviously she was part of the Oregon Project.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that, and I think that kind of hangs over her and Will. Yeah,
I think that's true until
forever. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and then when you pull out big performances, it's obviously immediately people are like, oh well, you know, part of the, but if you just disregard that for now, as we sort of wax lyrical about the Olympics, that's an incredible performance.
Yeah,
She gave Coffee a big shout out as well. She said she couldn't do it without a cup of coffee. And I like that. Well,
that's very relatable.
We all need to drink more coffee and not worry about having nightmares, I guess.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Should we quickly talk about Kipchoge as well and his marathon win? He retained his Olympic title. Steve Magnus, obviously celebrated coach, he's very impressed on Twitter. He says, Eliud Kipchoge is the greatest of all time in any sport. His domination in a major sport in the modern era is unprecedented. Over 17 marathons in 8 years, he's only lost two. He's double Olympic champion, world record holder, and he broke an insane barrier, sub 2 hours, obviously. Yeah, you know what? It is amazing, and I was probably one of those people who thought, after seeing him in London, perhaps that sort of aura of invincibility around Kipchoge might not be there anymore, because obviously he finished eighth. For the first time, he looked kind of old, and he isn't young anymore. You know, he's kind of like mid to late 30s, and it's like, but he's proved to everyone that he's still the man to beat in when it comes to the marathon.
Yeah.
Oh, well, something in my throat. I'm not crying.
Yeah, but Rick sounds very emotional.
No. I'm just gonna say, I'm afraid.
Guys, there's a video that we can see each other on video, and he's weeping.
He's crying.
He's just weeping.
Oh, Eliud, it's just amazing what you've done.
It's actually not. It's actually not true. No. On that note, though, that Sifan likes a coffee. So John Mulkeen, who was there covering it, was tweeting, and Damien Warner has just revealed, and he tweeted, Damien Warner has just revealed that sometimes his main motivation for a decathlon 1500 metres is just to go run as far, just to run fast and get it over and done with as soon as I can so I can go and eat cake.
I like it.
Right? So he's immediately now the most relatable athlete, I think, ever. And that's another hot take from the Olympics.
Fair play. I mean, it's a final event, isn't it? In decathlon, I think.
Yeah.
So you can do what you want.
Horrible distance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's quite funny with that stuff, because same with the heptathlon. You get some people who are obviously not distance runners, right? So it's the closest you get in the Olympics is seeing people who are a little bit like the sort of every man or every woman running around the track. And obviously, they're way better than like...
Oh yeah,
he would be. But they look for the first time. It's like, oh, that doesn't look like a sort of particularly good runner there, actually.
Yeah, I enjoy that quite a lot. In a sort of like very sort of selfish way of just watching other people look less good than they should be. Do you have a sport that from the Olympics that you watched loads of that you didn't think you would?
Yeah, taekwondo. I love watching loads of taekwondo.
Really?
Because it was weird. Like, obviously, when it got into like the Biebs coverage of it, was a bit weird, wasn't it? Because they didn't have all the rights to various things. So there was loads of taekwondo. They definitely had. They definitely got the taekwondo contract.
Nice.
And it's an odd sport, isn't it?
Because
it's a very specific kind of way of sport. And there was lots of British interest, and I just ended up watching loads of taekwondo and became a sort of armchair expert in it.
I love that. Jane, did you have one?
I had this, I can't remember the name of it, the weird one where it's like medieval and they do like running. What,
fencing?
No, they do modern, like running.
Modern pentathlon.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
And it's the poshest Olympic sport that there is.
And I couldn't kind of, I think I was drawn to it because, like many people, I think I was very disappointed in the German woman punching her horse. But then I was just like, I don't understand this event. And I didn't really know it was a thing, to be honest, until this year. But apparently it is. It's always been there.
I like the fact that it was a kind of like a trail race at the end.
Yeah. Well, because I was like, oh, they're now running. And they were, I mean, I guess you do have to be good at lots of different things, which maybe is, I don't know. I was just very confused by it. I still am. I'm still trying to get my head around all the things they had to do and how you discover, you know, like, oh, I like horse riding and I don't mind running. I'll just learn the other things quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you know that you're good at all of those things?
But sure.
There you go.
It's a mystery. Please write in.
Yeah,
podcast at Runner's World.
I'm not slamming anyone who's into it, but is anyone into, like...
Yeah, we won gold in both. We won gold, the men's and women's gold. So
yeah, we're a powerhouse.
We are absolutely...
So we're really good at it. Okay, I'll take it all back. Forget everything
a global. We are the global force when it comes to modern pentathlon.
Oh, got some interesting chat on Olympic sports that are no longer on the agenda.
Ooh.
So, which I didn't realise, tug of war was an Olympic sport for many years.
It'll be back.
Tug of war, bring that back. Also, another one, I'm not sure what this was called, but this sounds amazing. So it was a swimming event where people would just dive in underwater.
Yep.
I don't think you weren't allowed to take a stroke, I believe, and it's a person who could go the furthest.
I'd be really good at that.
Without coming up. And apparently it was dropped because they thought it was a bad spectator sport. But think of the camera work. The camera work now.
It's the same thing that everyone does on holiday when they get to the swimming pool.
Yeah, I'd be
so
good at that.
Is that you dive in and you try and swim a length, holding your breath.
But I'm not sure. You're taking strokes, though, aren't you? And you're doing sort of breath, like,
so is it off the dive? So you've got to have the best dive ever?
I think so.
Wow.
Imagine that.
So
bring that back, please. Get rid of the modern pentathlon. Let's have the sort of no stroke divey event back and tug of war.
Yeah. I also like the girl who did the skateboarding. Is she like 12?
Oh yeah, Sky. Yeah, Sky somebody.
She was
super cute.
I'm like, oh my God, you're like a baby and you've got an Olympic medal, which is probably really patronising, but she was just so cute and so good at skateboarding.
Yeah, it was amazing. I watched a lot of shooting.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, wow. I know. I got into it's quite a good sort of background noise one. So if you're sort of, you know, just doing other things, working, that sort of stuff.
Put some shooting on.
Relax to some trap shooting. But it got me thinking about what I love about the Olympics kind of most almost is you suddenly realise that maybe the way that like fitness, particularly fitness and body image and fitness and being like how people view being healthy outside of the Olympics, it's a very archetypal image of what being healthy is. So you've got, like, you know, the modern image of what a man should look like is probably all like, you know, a bit gym centric and all this sort of stuff, and a very set sort of like six pack and all this. And then the same with women, there's a sort of like a wellness fitness image, and that's being fit. And then you get to the Olympics and actually you've got these elite athletes and they all look so different.
Mm.
Depending on like whatever sport it is they're doing, and they've made their bodies the best bodies for that job, for that sport. And I kind of like, it's a real nice reminder of actually just like, no, it's not like, it's not just being lean and having and like big guns or whatever it is. Like there's these, you know, you've got the 87 kilo weightlifters are just the most powerful people in the world, but you know, if you looked at them you wouldn't think they don't conform to that set image of what wellness, fitness is, but they're the best at that. And they're phenomenal athletes. And then you've got, you know, like a high jumper, you know, they're all just, you know, they're all limbs and, you know, and all this. And I just suddenly was just like, that's what I really like about the Olympics, is it kind of levels that kind of awful playing field, which is, you know, like, oh, if you're fit and healthy, then you've got to look like this. And it's not like that. Like the Olympics just gives you that great panoramic view of like every single type of human body and how all of them are brilliant at something.
Yeah, I think that's really true, mate. I think
another
that's really true.
Another sport that I've said before I love, and I'll say it again, the race walking. I just love it. I love watching that little swagger. I just like to think it's so funny. And it's so impressive that they can walk probably as quick as I'm running. It's just mad.
Jane, I don't want to knock you down, but you've been very generous to yourself there. the pace that they run, walk, whatever, speed, power walking, whatever. I'm doing this a disservice.
It's like sub 40 10K.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? No, seriously, quick.
Yeah. It's insane how fast they go. Like, they're all doing stupidly fast stuff. Yeah, that's always been one that you kind of just watch and you go, wow, that's crazy.
And they can't take their both feet off the floor. Is that the rule? They can't take both feet off the floor. So they're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm doing the movement, but that's not great on a podcast, is it? It's like a little sway. I love it.
Quick one. I think quick shout out to Team GB as a rule at the Olympics, because finished fourth, matched the medal tally from London, and that was probably done without the sort of traditional success we've had in rowing and to a certain extent cycling. Yeah. So I think it's an even better performance than London. You know, we've also got weather that really doesn't suit British athletes.
Yeah.
Us Brits, you know, like 30 degrees humid. It doesn't often happen for us, does it, in the UK? And yeah, I think like we really have become established as like a proper Olympic powerhouse, and it's I think something like Tokyo potentially was a bit of banana skin, because I think, like as Jane was saying, training's been all over the place, very very hot. Japan are obviously going to be up among the medals again, but to finish fourth I think is it just shows actually what kind of strength and depth that we've got as a Olympic nation now, and hopefully we can you know, in Paris in 3 years' time, yeah, you wouldn't bet against us finishing in the top three, I think. So, Jane, that's your last podcast then as a full-time employee of Runner's World. We thank you for your services, for your good humour, for your athletic insight, and for putting up with Ben and I and our inane chatter. So please, please, please come back.
Yeah, I definitely will, because... yeah, it's just nice to have a chat, isn't it? Nice to take the mick out of you both. Ben with his mad dog hot running, and Rick with your just mental challenges, to be honest.
Mentally challenged, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, I think it cut your mic cut out a little bit, but I definitely heard mentally challenged, so that was interesting.
So yeah, no, it's been great, and it's definitely not the last podcast. I'm not saying that, because I think I've already cried on one podcast. I think one of those pre-London marathon ones. I had a cry, so I'm not crying on this one.
Okay,
fair enough. Right. I am.
Rick has. You
Rick's
are,
already
but...
cried. Yeah,
oh, no, I was crying about Eliud Kipchoge in the marathon. Why not? Well, so that brings to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. Thanks very much for listening. And thanks to Jane as well for coming on.
Thanks, Jane, for coming on. Jane is definitely going to be back next week if we have but we're going to we'll just keep it on.
If I come back next week now, we're going to have to do all this again. It's going to
Please subscribe to Runner's World magazine. It's a fantastic read. You'll enjoy it every month as it arrives at your door. You can do that online, but if you want to just try three issues for £5, head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get that exclusive listener offer.
You can listen to the Runner's World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and please subscribe and tune in to listen to Ben and Rick and occasionally me. Thanks for listening and hopefully see you again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.